Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. Late Night is on vacation this week, but last Thursday we recorded a special conversation between Late Night writers Seth Rees and Sal Gentile. They sat down in our offices to discuss the current political climate and what they've learned since Trump was elected. Hope you enjoy this chat between Seth and Sal.
Hey everybody, this is Sal Gentile, writer on the show, and I'm here with another writer, Seth Rees. We're off this week, but we're going to be talking about what the past couple weeks have been like.
In the world.
In the world. Rees and I have the advantage of being two people who probably watch the most CNN.
It's really funny. After the election, I vowed to not watch it. Vowed to stop watching cable news, and I did it pretty effectively.
Yeah.
Just like, all I would do is read the New York Times, and I would read probably like Politico, and then I would kind of stop and I would avoid all CNN. And I did it pretty effectively until the first time the Republican healthcare bill failed in the House.
Interesting.
And I had to watch because I wanted to feel good. Because I wanted my sugar.
Something good had to happen.
Something good. Something.
You needed your injection. During the election, you'd get that right into your arm, like, Hillary's up by 5 points or whatever.
Right.
And you'd be like, oh, good. And okay.
And you know what's funny about that? I do think one of the reasons I started watching it and behind the Republican bill sort of failing was that it was like it felt like a win for Obama.
Yeah.
And that like got me back, like, I loved Barack Obama.
Yeah,
I'm sure,
you don't want his...
like, I loved him, and I liked that he had sort of won in a certain way, or that something that he championed was still going to be around.
Yeah.
So I started watching again.
Yeah.
And that me. I was back.
Now you're back in, baby. They sucked you in.
Yeah, I was back.
And you haven't gone back to the safe space, the no CNN safe space.
No, I mean, it's certainly not as bad as it was before the election.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this a lot. Like, I didn't like the fact that if Bakari Sellers was walking down the street in New York City, I would be able to recognize Bakari Sellers and be able to say, like, hey, Bakari Sellers, it's good to see. Like, I love your work. Like, I hate that that was true. I hate that this is true.
Yeah,
but it is true because I know who Chris Eliza is,
like,
and I know.
If you're walking down the street, you'd be get angry if you saw Ken Cuccinelli because you know that he's a contributor to CNN.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the former attorney general of Virginia has pretty awful politics. You'd be angry, but the main thing that you'd be angry about is you'd be angry at yourself because you recognize him from CNN.
Yeah, and then I'd want his autograph.
Even though you hate him.
Because I have my special pundit book now that I go and get their autographs.
Yeah, yeah. Jeannie Moos? She's been back, but she's been at CNN for like forever, so that's not
election. Which one's
specific.
Jeannie Moos?
She does the funny.
Oh,
sort of
no.
I know you don't want to.
We're not getting into Jeannie Moos.
Okay, let's zoom right past.
Because I'm gunning for your job, Jeannie. I want your job. You're out, Jeannie.
I'm leaving the show to do whimsical packages about
on CNN. Hey, she gets good airtime.
Yeah, she does. He's got a pretty guaranteed slot on CNN.
He's like the Andy Rooney of that.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about hats? It's Jeannie Moos. Next thing.
Yeah. And how do you feel now, in retrospect, about the fact that you got your shot?
Fantastic question, because it's vastly different. So when the Senate bill failed, I did not rush home to watch CNN.
Yeah.
Because guess what? It's going to pass.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is a classic Democrat rejoinder to this stuff. I am all for a bill that fixes Obamacare, which is not perfect. We all know it's not perfect. There are things that need to be tweaked. I'm right. all for
sure.
a bipartisan bill that does that. I'm so for it. It's just like horrifying to see like 24 million people are going to lose their health insurance. It's like, that's insane to me.
It's grotesque.
So, but
it's vile.
But knowing that I'm conditioned now to be like, oh, they might have failed, but they'll probably figure out a way to pass it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
well,
I did not go home and get my sugar. More like I just went home and what I do is I flip through every HBO I have until maybe Michael Clayton comes on one of those channels.
Right.
And then if it doesn't come on, I then go to bed.
And if it does come on, you watch Michael Clayton.
I'll watch it where it is. Hopefully, usually I hope Michael Clayton is sort of in the middle so I don't right. have to really watch it.
Right.
But I like having Michael Clayton on in the background. It's a very good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, and I actually randomly, it's funny you mentioned this, I randomly stopped writing a cholesterol alert just to like go down a YouTube hole, and I specifically sought out the trailer for Michael Clayton.
It's great.
Just to watch it.
If anybody listening to this does anything about anything in your life, make it be watching Michael Clayton.
If you haven't watched it, but you mean either way, if you have or haven't.
If you have or haven't, stop listening to this right now. Watch Michael Clayton. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? I actually had this feeling when I was watching it. I didn't walk away from Michael Clayton feeling too many things. Like, I didn't have to process it that much. Like, it was just kind of like, oh, this was a good.
Very solid.
Yeah, solid
piece
movie.
Piece of art.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But if people do want to feel good and enjoy a movie for the hell of it, quiz show. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong with quiz show. It's just a delight.
Just
start to finish.
People start. There's going to half the country now or whatever, 35-40% loves what's happening there, like reading the news.
Yeah.
The rest of us just go back and watch classic movies.
Quiz show.
Yeah, just quiz show.
Yeah, quiz show. And by the way, if any of this is edited out, I will straight up murder. His name is Jay. I won't give his name, but I will murder him if he edits any of this out. So continue driving the conversation about politics, Sal.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's in your contract that this can't be edited out.
Great. Thank God.
Podcast. Yeah. Did it sink in right away after Trump won the election that genuinely horrible things were going to happen?
No.
Obamacare repeal is one of the first times when that started to really become like a very specific, concrete consequence of the Trump era. It was like, oh, God, they're actually going to force millions of people off their health insurance. This is going to result in actual deaths. Although I should be, to be fair, that's actually not the first time because there was a Syria strike. There's, you know, just sort of like viciously rounding up immigrants who have done absolutely nothing. There's plenty of other things. So I take that back. Legislatively, it seemed like the Republicans were so incapable of getting out of their own way,
right.
such a dysfunctional party, that they wouldn't be able to codify anything through legislation.
Sure.
There were plenty of things, horrific things that Trump would be able to do and has done. The travel ban, rounding up immigrants, that kind of thing.
Right.
But the Obamacare was the first time it's like, oh, no, they might be able to pass legislation, too.
I'll take a step back and instead of even getting into the weeds of the political changes, Trump winning the presidency and the way he conducts himself also made me realize the true power of the presidency for the first time. Suddenly I was like, oh, this man has a ton of control over many things.
Right.
Because I never felt that with Barack Obama. You know, I didn't even feel that with like George W. Bush. And as I think I was still like a kind of a moron who didn't know anything during the presidency of Bill Clinton. So, but I never felt the power, the seat of power of the Oval Office as the people talk about. And that I started to realize that on a totally different side of the spectrum, the Trump presidency also made me think more about what it is to be a human being living in America. And we've talked about this.
Right.
Like focusing on the rights that we have as human beings in America and what it is like to have free will and enjoying that free will.
Yeah.
Realizing that it's not to be taken for granted.
Yeah.
And also, on a less horrifying note, enjoying it.
Right.
And that I started to think about way more as like your place. And maybe this is getting more, a little more philosophical, but just your role as citizen.
Right.
There is role as citizen as making change, affecting change, protesting. There's also role as citizen as enjoying the rights of your country that have been fought for, but in being able to enjoy that just in terms of life. Sal, we told you no calls from your nagging fiance during podcasts.
Why is Matt Goldich calling? Yeah, hello. Is Fred there?
It's a prank call.
No, I know, but I just don't. I want to try to understand it.
They just hung up.
Well, we'll give a little bit. We'll give a little insight.
It wasn't the a call, good prank call.
The call said
they just asked me his friend there.
The call, but here's why.
Okay,
we are in Fred Armisen's office.
Yeah, yeah.
Fred Armisen has an office.
Right.
Fred is never in this office.
Right.
We all use this office to write or work on things. Fred is never here. So right. That is a little morsel.
Yeah.
Of the backstage workings.
A little glimpse at the...
That if you didn't listen to this podcast,
yeah.
You wouldn't get.
Yeah, it's a little tidbit.
You wouldn't get.
Behind the scenes tidbit.
But no, like I really did start to focus on like who I am as a person and like how I can live. I'm 34 years old. Hopefully I got about 50 more left.
Right.
How I can enjoy and just live as a human being in that time of my life. That Trump presidency made me think about that way more.
Because it felt like...
Because it sucks. Because it sucks. Right. It made me feel sucky. And I was like, well, I could focus on how sad that makes me feel.
Right.
Or I could... And it still makes me feel sad. I'm not immune to it. Or I could just a little bit pivot and think about what I can do and not... It's not so much not paying attention to it completely, but understand that it can't affect my day-to-day constantly or I will go nuts.
Right. You can't be constantly consumed by
it. Yes, can't.
I do think I've talked
about you have less of that luxury than
yeah,
I do.
I
do more of like the sketch stuff on our show. Yeah. So like it's a little less, but
yeah.
I go to your desk constantly and we talk about
because
stuff.
I have where my desk is, I have CNN like right above me
yeah.
on the wall.
And I do and like you said, I do watch a lot. I do watch a lot of cable news and I do constantly go to Sal. And
it is bad
think?
Though. It's toxifying. I've talked about this before, but there is this thing that's happened where our individual identities as human beings have become increasingly linked to our political identities.
Yes.
Like it's one and the same. And that has produced a sort of tribalism. It's one thing to be, I think, politicized. I think everybody should have a sort of like awakening of their political consciousness and be in touch with their own political principles and how they feel and the ideological commitments they have to specifically what it means to have like fidelity to other people around you and how that translates into political principles. I think everyone should have awakening of that. But like there is this bad thing that happens where you're constantly consumed by and then driven by and part of
yes.
and a large part of your identity is shaped around like what you believe politically.
And that's sometimes when you call a parent
yeah.
and they're like, though this we can't with the Trump is not normal. We can't normalize it. But it is nice to hear from somebody who has lived for over 30 years.
Yeah.
And just like, but they're continuing to live their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they lived
through things
lives.
That at the time they were horrified
and
by.
Like,
and
like, it's
now
nice to know that exists.
Yeah.
There are people just living living their lives as they used to. I'm always putting caveats. It doesn't mean you should be passive, but, you know, it is important to know that you can do that.
Yeah. Well,
so
you need, no.
Like,
well, even if you're actively talking about in order to facilitate continue, like, active political participation, you have to have like the necessary perspective to say it's worth weathering this to
right.
continue on instead of just being like dejected and walking around all the time like depressed. I completely agree with that. There's a point you made earlier about appreciating the power of the presidency. This made me a lot, especially this month, but really the entire Trump has made me think about two things. One, we've talked about this. For all of us, we were probably, I think probably grew a little complacent. The left.
Absolutely.
I'm distinguishing a little bit between like liberals and like the socialist left, people who like were still fundamentally like dissatisfied with the sort of neoliberal policies of the Obama administration. But broadly speaking, the left became like complacent under Obama because it had that luxury. And now people are becoming reawakened politically and understanding like the consequences and implications of Trump being president. It also makes you go back and reassess the lasting consequences and implications of past presidents, because
yes.
so much of what we're living out now are direct consequences of the horrible decisions by previous presidents. The damage that George W. Bush did as president
mm-hmm.
will be untold for it can't be counted.
Right.
It can't be tallied. And it includes producing the environment for somebody like Trump to thrive in. The fallout from decisions like the Iraq War and the financial crisis, those are things that are still living with us to this day, and they facilitated Trump's
sure,
rise.
Sure, and this is not Barack Obama's fault. Barack Obama becoming presidency and people loving him.
Yeah.
And other people who didn't like him and then seeing us love him.
Right.
That also creates
anger.
There's a sort of meanness. That's when we talk about the anti-anti-Trump.
Yeah.
Anti-anti-Trump.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, Obama's election was sort of one of the pinnacle moments in the rise of tribalism. The resentment toward and viciousness of the reactionary right to people who liked Obama.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
and I mean, you go back and watch, if you go back and watch old Fox News clips, the things that they were obsessing over and trying to create this sense of persecution around.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch, it'll actually suddenly all, in some ways, it might all click into place, like how this happened. What? Because they're literally, right now, we are concerned about several things, including legislation that might literally result in the deaths of 10,000 people every year, the possibility that the president of the United States committed obstruction of justice, all these other things. If you go back and watch Fox News, there are literally like red alert breaking news segments about like a school in New Jersey that was singing a song that included Barack Obama, he's so great. They're literally going, this is Maoist propaganda, and they're coming for you to try to indoctrinate you and brainwash you.
What bums me out, and this is what I know to be true in my heart, if I were president, I wouldn't be trying to just piss off the people who didn't vote for me.
Right.
They want to watch us squirm.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of back to reality.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to love watching you guys squirm.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that influences policy. I mean, if
but it actually is
sad.
Is the political.
It makes me sad.
It's the Republican. It's definitely, it's very sad. And it, when you think about it, I think it was thinking about this morning, a sort of good microcosm that just happened that we talked about, that we covered a little bit on the show that you wrote something about, actually, is this Georgia special election.
Yes.
So we mentioned this a little bit on the show. Seth wrote a piece about it. It was a very funny piece in which you played a
Sal. I mean, my God, I was waiting. I was how long into this, and I haven't even gotten a compliment yet.
God, I'm sorry.
Gross.
That election was a very interesting microcosm into the current politics of the Republican Party and the right, because the Republican Party's, I mean, there's a lot to say about the Democratic candidate too. The Republican Party's position, what the ads were about, what the candidate talked about, had nothing to do with policy at all. They didn't actually mount any convincing defense of the health care bill and tell you like why this is a good thing, why you should vote for a Republican to go to Congress so that this Republican can vote for it or to criticize it. It was entirely like reactionary tribal politics of like,
do you hate Nancy healthcare? Pelosi?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you want to piss off Kathy Griffin?
Of course.
Kathy Griffin tweeted once about John Ossoff.
Now,
like,
now that said, the piece that I thankfully got complimented for. It was making fun of pundits, making fun of spin, and it was making fun of Democratic spinsters, because I don't think we were ever going to win.
Yeah.
Now that we're looking at it, I don't think we're ever going to win. I wonder at what point John Ossoff's campaign knew that they weren't going to win.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's impossible to say whether he could have ever won. It's obviously proving it, but yeah.
But isn't it like, we were so convinced he was
going to
win.
Well, they had to.
And then he lost by like 5 points. It's I guess we weren't going to win.
Worse
and
than
then it's like,
Trump.
Well, it was competitive.
Yeah.
And the last guy won by 20.
I know.
So, you know, it's like, well, I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
One thing we've totally talked about, and I wonder if people listening have this feeling, the next time somebody is on a map, some like newscaster is standing on a map and saying, this county hasn't come in yet, but it's a huge population center. So that could be a big boon for the Democratic candidate.
Yeah.
And it's like, that never happens anymore. Like, there's never, it's like, you know, if she keeps up these margins here and here, he's going to lose. But if this big population center comes in the way we think it's going to come in, that could really make up a lot of ground. A population center has not come in, and nobody has made up a lot of ground. And I swear to God, I think definitely in the last 5 years.
It hasn't happened at all. No.
Yeah.
I was reliving just like Pennsylvania from election night or whatever. Like
Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. There's still some votes out in Ward 12.
And when they come in, there's going to be a pop.
Pacing around the apartment going like, Ward 12 is still out. They haven't come in with Ward 12 yet.
It's like, it doesn't matter because you know what? She's won 90% of the vote in Fayette County, where I'm from, and there's a lot of Fayette counties.
Yeah,
so, she won 90% in a lot of places.
And those are all in. Those
that
all
makes
counted.
Up the Ward 12 boom. That's what they're expecting. Yeah.
Yeah. And the flip side of that being like, we'll never be comfortable with anything other than a 100%.
No, that's it. Yeah. If John Ossoff, if it would have been, if the early votes would have come in and John Ossoff was, if it was 90 to 10, I'm like, oh, he's going to lose. I was going to lose. It's got to be 100% the entire length of the returns.
Yeah.
for me to ever think we're going to win another election.
Yeah. It's almost like everyone in a certain neighborhood gets together and they're like, the early vote was really great for Ossoff. Hey, everyone, we got to all
go.
100% of us
let's
vote
go.
For the Republican.
That's what it is. It's like, all right, it's also like, are there hopes up? Great. Time to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John King goes to his map and it looks over here like, 100% of this county has voted for Karen Handel.
Yeah. And they did it at the exact time that the Democrats thought they might actually win. They had it calculated. Yeah. They're brilliant.
Yeah, no, Democrats will never win another election.
So that's and that's where we should end.
Yeah.
Democrats will never win another election. Have a great 4th of July. Happy Independence Day.
Yeah. Have fun, everyone.
Yeah, have fun, everyone.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
In the climate-ravaged year of 2072, the city of Pura stands as a miraculous green haven, a geoengineered paradise that protects fortunate residents from the global catastrophes of heat domes, fires, floods, and droughts. Demetria Lopez heads up Pura's public relations, tirelessly promoting the city's idyllic image. But when she stumbles upon a dark secret that, if exposed, would be the downfall of Pura's existence, she must decide who and what she is willing to protect. From Wondery, the makers of Academy and Dr. Death, The Last City stars actors Rhea Seehorn, Jeannie Tirado, and Maury Sterling. Follow The Last City on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Last City early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.